I'm Michael Sinatra, Public Relations Director for Whole Foods Market here in the Northeast region. I'm known for eating. It's funny because, you know, I work with a lot of people in really interesting positions. So someone like Ellie, our local forager, I mean, she's the local forager. She goes out and works with these great artisanal businesses. But it's me who she likes to tote along to, like, help her taste a lot of stuff. And, you know, our regional president will always grab me when there's a new vendor in doing a tasting. And a lot of our product teams will grab me because I just have a incredible passion for food. I've always loved to eat. I come from a big family of eaters, and I think my cultural background's about food. The history of my family dates back to food businesses in the past, and all kinds of different things. So I was born to eat. So.
This has been a message from our proud partner, Whole Foods Brooklyn. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network, coming to you from Roberta's Pizza. Yeah, and I've got some guests today, but first, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. We're going to talk right into the mic so you guys can hear us clearly. And before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on the social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love. And that's spelled L-U-V because Twitter didn't let me spell L-O-V-E. And hashtag using primary food, heritage underscore radio, and hashtag Rev Love. So, again, welcome to Primary Food. Let me tell you what primary food is. Again, I do this every intro. The foods that you eat are secondary to all the things that feed you in life, your relationships, career, spirituality, your exercise routine. Those are the things we call primary foods. All that we consider today as nutrition is really just a secondary source of energy. Primary food is more than what is on your plate. It's healthy relationships, regular physical activity, a fulfilling career, and a spiritual practice. All of these things fill your soul and satisfy your hunger for life itself. And when your primary food is balanced and satiating, your life feeds you, making what you feed your mouths secondary. I am a graduate of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. That's where I learned that fine concept of primary food. And it has been really important, an important thing to focus on while I have been going through cancer treatment, to know that going through treatment, I had to make sure that I was being fulfilled in so many other ways and not just nutritionally. Because it's really easy to maintain illness by being sad and eating a lot of kale. It's like you have to balance, you have to be happy. So I like to add in their creativity, which can cross over into spirituality, but my focus is creative output. You envision things. We're all creative individuals. I have a lot of freelance friends. We have these concepts and things we want to put out in the world, help people, to help ourselves. And, you know, for me, cancer was my, I guess you can say, creative spiritual muse. And everyone in the room today has their muses, has their networks, has their things, and we're going to talk about that. But even though we're coming from Heritage Radio Network and we're doing a fundraiser drive, please, please check out the site heritageradionetwork.org and donate, throw some love, throw some cash at us so we can continue giving you guys some really great stuff to listen to, learn from, and meet guests like you're going to meet today. Heritage has the secondary food pretty much covered, so I focus on primary, but I do like to talk about food once in a while. Because I'm fascinated right now by the vegan pop-up thing happening, like left and right. There's like a vegan burger shop here opening there, a vegan burger shop opening downtown here. And I'm kind of going on a vegan burger tour. Last episode, I did V-Burger in Union Square. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about By Chloe. Yum. So that's by Washington Square Park. Oh, my God. I went in there. You can't miss it. I forget the exact cross street. You can find it on Google. By Chloe. But you can't miss it because there's a line, like, coming out the place. Like, out kind of like a Trader Joe's kind of line, which is a good sign. But let's see. I went and I ordered, like, shamelessly a lot of things. Because I get to go in and pig out and say, I'm doing a food review. Rom, nom, nom, nom. Which is exactly what happened. So, I'm going to talk about two things on their menu that I really liked. And I'll talk about more of what I ordered on the next episode. So, their fries are awesome. They're like these air-baked fries, which is like fascinating to me. Because how do you cook something in air? Oh, hot air. They're great, crispy, not fried, air-baked, just the right salt and oil. So good. And I was actually very sad when I ran out, which is a good sign. And it wasn't like sad because I keep eating something I don't like. It was actually sad because I ran out. They have got this pink beet ketchup that's so yummy. It's like sweet and oniony and savory. And this spicy mayo that's so good. I totally loved that and would lick that off my fingers. So, all vegan. And then I ordered the barbecue sandwich. So, my God. Barbecue. I did not miss anything meat in that at all. And I am not vegan. I am predominantly plant-based. And I like to explore these things and just to see, like, does it really taste good? And these taste pretty damn good. So, this barbecue sandwich that they do, they have this like pineapple sliced and this mushroom, I think it's seitan kind of a thing. It's like a texture, like a steak sandwich without all the horrible grease and the animal fat. And it was so good, like you wouldn't miss meat at all. Mushrooms, marinated, kale, onion, oh my God. And the bun is perfect. It's like big, yet it's not dense and it's light. And it absorbs all the juice, and it dipped in the beet ketchup. So good. Okay, so that's my secondary food moment. We're going to take a quick little break, and then I'll introduce some of my guests. Okay, I'm back. That was just a little bit of 2 a.m. pluckings in my music studio. And I'm here with three wonderful people in my life. Okay, they're silently clapping, but I'm clapping for them out loud. Yes.
Yes, honey, yes.
Oh, yeah. Make yourselves audible now. You may unmute yourselves, people.
Oh, goodness.
To my right, I have Tim Haft. To his right, I have Susan Hannigan, and to her right, I have Lene Daniels. I'm going to go through a who, what, where, when, how, what, blah, you know, all that stuff with each of you, like, right now. So, Tim Haft,
hey.
What do you do? How and why? Tell me about it.
Well, I'm so honored to be here, Cynthia, and really glad to meet you guys. I'm a fitness instructor, personal trainer. And I guess, you know, what I've been thinking about a lot is just my purpose. And just, I think to sum it up, it's just to help people play.
People play.
People play and have fun and move. And, you know, if I just strip away all the trappings and all the, what's the word? Mishigas? Is that a word?
That's a word. It's delicious.
I think I had some. It looks as good as the pizza that's right outside our window here. I'm salivating. We're at Roberta's. But, yeah, I think, you know, really just to sum it up, it's about helping people play and connect and have fun with movement.
What is the problem that you are trying to solve with playing and movement?
I think one problem is not moving. Second problem is moving but without a purpose. Almost moving just for the sake of movement, or because someone told you you should move because it's good for you, but there's no enjoyment, there's no passion, there's no love of the movement. There's no connection with other people. It's solitary. It's clinical. And I think, you know, there's so many opportunities in the way we move to just have sheer joy in the process. And that's where play comes in for me. So I teach, you know, the listeners are like, what the hell do you do?
What the hell do you do, Tim?
I teach a few different group exercise programs. One is called Punk Rope. You can check it out at punkrope.com. And the idea there is really to kind of rekindle childhood, but in a good way. Some of us had bad memories of recess and so on. And
gym teacher
you know, I guess... threw, you know, heavy medicine balls at you and made you do push-ups. And the idea of exercise as punishment is what I'm trying to eradicate.
Yeah, you make a really good point. And you are bringing back some traumatic memories I've had of, you know, gym class as a young girl, especially going through, you know, puberty and stuff, can be pretty uncomfortable. So I would love to reconnect to movement. I definitely have not been moving as much as I want to going through cancer treatment. How do you know if you're moving enough?
Well, I think it's not necessarily a question of enough, but, you know, I'm excited to hear what Susan and Lene are doing, so I don't want to monopolize the time, but I did bring... I brought them jump ropes.
We're going to jump rope on air. We're going to be bouncing back and forth. Like once everyone intros themselves, it's going to be a big free for all talking.
Yeah, good.
So,
good.
Okay. Jump ropes with Tim, punk rope.
Yes.
And Susan.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey, speak closer to the mic.
Speak closer.
Yeah, we want to hear
like
you.
I being closer.
Very close. What are you working on?
I'm a life coach, and I am certified in eating psychology.
Okay.
And that has become a new passion of mine about, you were just speaking, your opening intro is like, oh, honey, we're the same person. How did that happen? it's looking about finding a new relationship with food. I think much like Tim was talking about how we get into a relationship with exercise that's about punishment and rules and should and shouldn't and scoring ourselves, I think we've gotten to that same relationship in our culture with food.
Right.
I'm a good girl if I eat a salad. I'm a bad girl if I eat this wonderful pizza we're watching being devoured.
I know.
In front of
these two people are eating pizza right in front of us as we're talking.
I think that's so perfect. Can I just say just how amazing I think that is for this conversation right now? I mean, it's just, and part of it is it's very much my feeling about food now at its best, which is we're watching a pair of lovely women in a really attractive space eating what seems to be beautifully prepared food.
Yes.
And they're enjoying themselves and they don't know I'm talking about them. but it's to me, that is what food always should have been.
Right.
And instead of getting into the abuse we now have in our relationship with food and also getting into, yeah, I can tell you things that can help you lose weight and or gain muscle mass or whatever your physical goals are. But to get back to accepting your body as it is right now.
Right.
What can you do to be, you can't shift anything for the long term until you adore the existence that you're in right now.
Right.
So if I'm saying, yeah, I should be losing 10 pounds right now, if I'm coming at it from that state, even if I lose the 10 pounds, I'm already in a state of negativity and self-hatred, right. Which even if I lose the weight, I'm pretty sure I'm going to gain it back within 6 months because I'm not in any sense of embracing my totality and beauty of who I am in the moment.
So how would you rejiggy that so it's positive and fruitful?
Well, that your big old question there.
That's a big question. The rejiggy question.
The rejiggy. I've just figured the name of my self-help book.
the rejiggy question.
It's a big answer, Ed, for what seems like a simple question. It's treating yourself as an individual. What do you need right now? What fills you? What nourishes you emotionally, physically? That food isn't just this many grams of fat, this many grams of carbohydrate.
Right.
If I'm eating my grandmother's mac and cheese, do I really enjoy it?
Right.
Do I really just take the time to treat it the way I would hopefully treat making love to a lover?
Mm-hmm.
Going, oh, this is great. I'm going to sit at a table. I'm going to embrace it. Because what happens with that, your body changes just around that.
Sure. Just hearing that right now.
As opposed to what I think like most of us do now, which is I'm going to grab a plate of something that has green and brown and something in front of my computer because I have about 10 minutes, maybe seven, to get something until I get to the next call that I have to do for work. And I'm not tasting anything, even if the food has the highest quality of nutrient value.
Right, right.
And I would suggest that as much as anything gets in the way of our relationship goals with our bodies.
Right.
We're not enjoying food.
Right. And you shouldn't be punishing yourselves to eat and punishing yourselves to exercise, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think that's key. Because for sure, when you think about getting healthy, why should punishment be any piece of that pie?
We've got this very puritanical state in our society about these things. I've said this before with somebody else recently, that I really think we've replaced religion with nutrition and diet and exercise.
Mm, fascinating.
And the sense of having sins and it being something virtuous versus something connecting.
Mm-hmm. What was your turning point to start looking at food in this?
I was looking just at myself in my own practice, what I wanted to be doing next and what I wanted to shift it up and challenge it. And one of the things for me is, what do I get sick of?
Okay.
And I was looking at my relationship with myself and also what I was looking at the dialogue with people in my life, particularly women. I mean, I know that guys go through this too, but let's just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dealing with our culture, 80% of the negative stuff still hits us as our gender.
Right.
And I was watching, I'm in my 40s now, and I was watching, not only was the dialogue the consistent thing of hearing extraordinary, beautiful women in my life of all body types doing the I'm fat, I'm inadequate. Mm-hmm. And now at my age, they're hearing the and I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something inside of me just started dying hearing that conversation over and over again. And I was looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I met my now teacher and mentor Mark David at a workshop, and he was discussing something I'd never heard about, which was how much our emotional lives relate to weight loss and exercise. And him saying that when he was just a straight nutritionist, nobody was talking about this.
About emotion. Really?
It was, and the thing is, when I've started talking to people now and clients that I'm bringing up, how's your love life?
Mm-hmm.
How's your relationship with your mom? How's your relationship with what's your support system? People are looking at me stunned because that's not Weight Watchers.
Right.
And I'm not pushing down Weight Watchers. If Weight Watchers works for you or any plan works for you, that's great. But I'm looking at not quick fix. I'm looking at lifetime integrated changes that's going to embrace you until the day you die, that it really does come down to, how am I feeling about myself today? Because, you know, listen, we just come out of the holidays, they're ending them. I don't know how many of you here had a moment of going, oh, I just was with my family and brownies. And I think that there's a reason that they're brownies at the time of year that we're all around each other.
Just try to survive. Just like, you know what? Let me just take a bite of this. You know, I want to deal with this problem.
And here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I want to get away from the concept that that was a bad choice. Right. I should be, you know, I keep hearing self-discipline. Good hell of self-discipline. It isn't self-discipline. It's a choice. And sometimes it is a genius choice to say, I'm in a tense situation right now where I'm feeling I can't be self-expressed. Pasta, you know, thank God for pasta. You know.
That may be the title of your next book.
Yes, thank God for
thank God for pasta. And then the book after that was To Hell with Self-Help.
Well, the fourth one is I Know Nothing.
Oh, yeah. That's actually my autobiography right there. We'll move to Lene, and then we'll all start talking about this as a group, because this is a topic that affects everyone, you know.
Hey
Lene.
Wait, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, my name is Lene. I am really excited just to be here. Like, when I first heard your voice through the microphone, through the headphone, I'm like, oh my God, it's real. So I'm just really am thankful just to be here and to meet everyone here who sounds so awesome, so dope.
We are all so dope, especially Jack in the recording room.
Yeah.
He's dope, very dope.
Who am I?
What are you working on? Who are you? What's your passion right now?
Who am I? I am a youth facilitator. I work for a organization called City Nash Leadership Project, where I go to different high schools and I teach a workshop about feminism and social justice. How do the women, the girls in our club, we call them Nashers, how do they form healthy relationships within each other? Mm-hmm. And outside of my work with City Nash, I am a community organizer. So I'm going to focus on two, because if I talk about all the organization, like, we're going to be here all day. The first one that's really near dear to my heart is Yada She Said. That's how I met
that's
you.
What she said. That's how we met.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes. And it's a collective of five women. We use art to help promote women, because as you could probably tell, and probably as well as you too, women don't get the recognition that they deserve as artists. So we do that. And also another organization that's near and dear to my heart is the Sister Circle Collective. We are a core of 10 women. So I talk about this collective, I often joke that we are like the Wu-Tang of feminism, because there's so many. Well, you have me, I work with youth. You have another person who does international affairs. You have another person who does a lot of work around food justice. You have another person who is a writer. So we have different hands on different things, but we all focus on the same thing, which is to amplify the voices and the story of Black and brown girls, Black and brown women, queer women, queer girls, trans girls, and trans women.
Okay.
And we do that by our healing circles. We do that by our workshop. We did a workshop this past summer, where we were in the community in Harlem, in the Bronx, and we did healing circles. We make little like slabs using like natural herbs, like things that come from the earth. And we're just a bunch of bad bitches. Like, and y'all, I'm sorry for referring to y'all bitches, but I love y'all. No harm intended. But I'm just really thankful just to be around an amazing group of women. And that's just two out of the many things I do. And I'm just thankful to be around women who help me become the person I am right now, speaking to you and speaking in front of everyone right now.
It's so great, because everyone here in this room, we've all built our networks. We have very distinct communities. And when you bring them all into one place, you realize how many people are affected, you know, by what we want to do and what we want to work on. It's really beautiful. You know, it's the opposite of living this, like, you know, solitary life and not reaching out to people. And this is it right here. This is why I love you, Heritage Radio. I love you for this space. This is amazing. I DJ'd for That's What She Said. That's how I met Lene.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great. I was loving the artistic expression. A lot of it stuck in my head. We have a sister, Grace, who is painting. She was painting with a dildo. It was fantastic.
Like, Ashley, awesome. She had, like, a strap on, yeah. the paint button, and the dildo, and, like, just whipping it out on
canvas. And I was watching her.
I just keep thinking her reapplying.
I was at the DJ booth, losing track of what I was doing because I'm watching her. I'm like, what is she doing? I love it. So that stuff is great. And Tanya Menson, mm-hmm. who's also, you know, we have to get her on the show too, because she's got a lot to talk about, about, you know, our feminism and all of that.
Yeah, my bestie.
Yay! So, we have a lot of topics on hand here. What do we want to talk about next? Because Tim, you've got some stuff going on. I saw something you were posting about healthy mutation.
Healthy
challenge.
Mutation challenge.
I read that and I was like, I am mutating as I'm reading. What is that?
You know, I have very mixed feelings because Susan and I were talking earlier. This time of year, people feel that change is almost imposed on them, mm-hmm. or the need to change, the fact that it's a new year, it's a time to, you know, kind of redefine yourself, and I think there's this pressure to change one's body as well as one's mind, and that typically lasts for about
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. It's about 2 weeks.
It's like 2 days.
It's 2 weeks, and then quite frankly, the end result is pretty devastating for a lot of people because you know, they pursue it for a couple of weeks, and then they're like, ah, fuck it, man. I don't want
it. It's now January 15th. It's sleeting. My gym is over there.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So years past, I've run fat loss challenges because I was asked to do it. My students wanted that.
Okay.
And so we were putting them on the scale, and I was not feeling good about it. You know, I was like, this is...
What did you feel about that?
Well, you know, part of me felt, okay, this is what these people were inspired to do. They wanted to take on this challenge. They wanted to eat more healthfully. They wanted to make sustainable changes. But at the same time, I knew that in all likelihood, the end result was not going to be positive for most of the participants, and had very mixed feeling. This year, we're doing healthy mutation, where there's really three separate prongs to this project. One is that each person is going to pick a, let's call it a healthy food goal or a nutrition goal. It's very amorphous. It could be just about anything. And they're going to journal about it. So it's not necessarily something that's going to be measured. It's very personal to them. Mm-hmm. Second is a fitness challenge. Again, something that they can pick. Maybe it's someone that just wants to walk for 3 miles. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's somebody who wants to do a push-up or a pull-up.
So it's their personal challenge.
It's their personal challenge. Okay. Nothing's being imposed. And the third thing was very tough, but most of the people I work with, what they say is, I want to feel better, I want to look better. So this is going to be visual. And in whatever way they want it to be done, mm-hmm. there's going to be a before picture and then an after picture.
Okay.
And I know that starts to sound like an infomercial and, mm-hmm. you know, every gym you've ever seen that you've hated. But this is a way for them to do it on their terms, you know, with their lighting, in their attire, their pose. If they just want to show their right kneecap, and then how that right kneecap looks 6 weeks later, it might look the same.
I was going to say, what specific?
It's their choice. But anyway, it's just something that I'm, you know, putting out there this year, and we'll see how it goes.
When do you start that? And is that open to the public now?
It is open to the public. Anyone actually from around the world is welcome to join us.
Tell us how.
If they're in New York City. So the best way is just to contact me at tim@punkrope.com.
Okay.
PUNKROPE.com. If you're in New York, I'm going to supervise it. I'll be helping with the photographs. We'll have intermediate meetings where it'll essentially be a support group and we can all discuss this process and how we're faring in terms of the food challenges and the fitness challenges.
Okay. And how often do you think you want to run this program every year? Once a month?
Once a year to start, and then we'll see how frequently makes the most sense. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah. Tim is an inventor of programs. Tim is the brains behind Punk Rope, Beastinetics. What am I missing?
Mindful Beast is about debut.
I actually didn't know that much about that.
Yeah.
And you were also working on another...
and a project called Great Riddance.
Love that.
Which is helping people to declutter lives, minds, offices, bodies.
How has that been?
It's been really fascinating.
Fascinating.
I didn't realize we were talking before about emotion and... What an emotional process
to declutter.
Oh, it's huge.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all just kind of like gripping something right now, like, oh, my goodness, let go of stuff? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Wow, what are you finding is a common thread in all of the things that you do? What is this, the goal that you want?
You know, I think all the things that all of us here are doing, I've been thinking a lot more just about legacy and the idea that when we're no longer here, at least not in this form, what do we leave behind? And you've got, you know, great practice that, you know, Susan's doing, and that's what she said sounds
it's great
unbelievable.
Yes, thank you.
Unbelievable. And to think that these are going to live on, you know, after our involvement, that gives me a really positive and hopeful feeling about the planet. So, that's probably neither here nor there, but that's what I'm thinking about right now.
No, I feel you. I mean, I think about that a lot. And I'm also thinking about, you know, the actual, what we do right now, you know, to make a difference, to affect people, to help people see, you know, the brighter side of things. We all go through stuff. You know, we all go through challenges. And I think that when we reach out to each other and we talk about each other's challenges and realize, okay, we can manage. We get support. You know, we can talk about it on air. It's not that bad. We can talk about it. I think this is just part of survival, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking about your projects. We'll recap in the end with your handles and everything. And Susan, what's hot topic for you with what you're working on?
Boy, the hot topic right now is self-love. I think that's really, you know, as Tim and I were talking about this thing of this arbitrary thing of January 1st. And I know there will be people coming to me and that it's, you know, we need markers in time. And we don't have many of them culturally anymore. You know, occasionally we have, you know, here's a wedding, a birth, a couple of holidays, but we don't really do solstices anymore. We don't have collective celebrations. Yeah. And so I think what often happens is January 1st becomes one of those. And if it works for you, terrific. But yeah, after 2 weeks, it's done. But if people are coming to me, if my goal, my passion is for them to adore their physical space.
Adore their physical space.
Whatever that is, I mean, yeah.
What does that mean? I love that phrase. Tell me more.
We get into this thing, I think most of us, where we say, when I achieve this thing with my body, when I am a size 6, when I have a 6-pack, when I have the ass I had when I was 18 years old, then I will be acceptable, lovable, sexual, and then I can have the life I want.
Okay.
So one of two things happens. We either don't achieve those things and we hate ourselves more, or sometimes we do achieve those things. As New Yorkers, we know we can see people walking around with the quote unquote perfect bodies. And often what happens with those folks is they're in a constant state of tension. What if I lose this?
Right.
If I lose this, then I lose my superpower and people will see the real me again. And God knows that real me is horrible. And I just feel like I watch, now coming from a space I'm in now, my heart is breaking up over how many people, that's the energy they're giving off, even if they know it or not.
Right.
And you can see it reflected in things like social media. one of the reasons I ended up getting the degree I did was there was a day when one person in my life announced that they'd just given birth, and another person announced that they had just lost 50 pounds.
Okay.
Guess what got more likes?
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty.
And mm-hmm. I started to cry.
That's pretty.
Listen, losing 50 pounds, if you feel good about yourself, if you feel powerful, if you feel strong, if you, you know, fantastic.
Right.
But we're now at a point in our society where our bodies being a physical ideal is more important than a human being, you know,
Wow, that's pretty heavy.
Suze, I just want to make sure it wasn't the same person.
No,
wow.
My new weight loss regime. I dropped a human out of my labia.
This human was 50 pounds.
Look at my before and after picture. Yeah.
Wow, that really hit something in me. That's, you pointed out something pretty heavy. Yeah.
So for me now, it's honoring who you are right now, and out of that, what if honoring who you are right now will make you have a healthy relationship with your body, will make you eat better, will help you find exercise and movement that you love, will help you find enough acceptance to find somebody that you do want to share your body with.
Right.
Somebody, and what if that leads you to those things that you haven't done in years, if ever?
Yeah.
Is loving your body right now what's going to get you to go salsa dancing finally, or go to Tibet, or all those things that you've been saying to yourself, when I'm acceptable, then I can do these things.
Where are you? Are you coaching currently right now?
I'm coaching currently right now. I have a private practice.
Okay.
You can chat me up at SusanHannigan.com. I work with international clients. It's going to be done on the phone, FaceTime, Skype, all the rest of it, but I'm New York City based.
SusanHannigan.com.
Yeah.
That's pretty, I don't know, I'm really like moved by that because I'm around women a lot and I hear the way they speak about themselves. I have gone through a lot of transformation this year. I have no more breasts. So I have to really love myself to get through that. And I do. And I'm able to get through that. And that's pretty fucking heavy. Really heavy.
It's enormous. It's
huge.
Enormous.
As huge as the breasts were. And it's like, you can't get through this stuff if you don't like yourself.
Or you can get through it and your existence is pretty fucking miserable. I know a lot of people who are getting through it.
Yeah, and they're not happy.
And the whole vibe is, don't look at me. I'm disgusting. Don't, I'm not worthy of your attention, your affection. And that to me is just, my expiration date got done.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's like rotted yogurt in the fridge. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. There's so much conversation to be had about women and their bodies, which is also why love, that's what she said, and everything you're working on, because it's so female centric and empowerment. And it's just never ending. It's like you need to keep empowering women in the society, because what happens if you don't?
Then you have a lot of people just...
Everyone suffers.
Everyone suffers, really. You both, regardless if you identify as women or identify as men, like, because sexism hurt both genders and those who don't fall within those genders. So for me, a personal thing that I'm doing right now, now that it is winter solstice, is for me to like really take a break from organizing and working with you and just really take time to do for me and get myself love and self-care, because I'm a big believer that you cannot give what you don't have. And
true.
If I do not have a bottle of water and a cup to just to feed myself, then I cannot give that to anyone else. So for me, and also it's really important for me to always give myself time to like heal and do things that make me feel good, because with the girls and the women that I work with, and I do a lot of work with them, like I deal with a lot of trauma. I have worked with girls and women who have been, excuse me, trigger warning, who have been sexually assaulted, for girls who have dealt with generational trauma with family and have experienced sexism and racism and transphobia, homophobia, and me identify as a Black, queer, gender conforming femme women. Like, I go through the same things too. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely relate to them. So it's really important for me to do what I can to take care of myself so that way I could show up and be present for the community that I'm part of.
That's huge. Oh, so glad that you explained that. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned generational trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that a little bit more. I'd heard that and I wasn't quite sure what that was.
Okay. So generational trauma, for me, speaking as a woman of color is where, and also it does just apply to people of color, it applies to anyone. But generational trauma is when trauma happened within like one generation and then get passed on to another generation. So kind of like, for example, I know one person who, her mother went through a sexual assault and did not get like the healing that she needed to get through to get to heal from that situation, whether it be counseling, therapy, what have you. And then because it went on unchecked, it passed on to the daughter. So the daughter, so the mother is afflicting trauma, whether it, you know, is slut shaming or victim blaming or what have you. It gets passed on from generation to generation where it goes unchecked. And for me, that's something I personally go through. I'm not going to put my family business out there because, yeah, can't do that. But that's something that I go through personally. And me being aware of the system of oppression that affected my family and how that went on from generation to generation, I'm doing what I can to make sure that it doesn't continue where regardless if I choose to have children or not, like the cycle ends with me.
Right.
And I just try when I because I'm working through my own issue, I'm able to help other people go through the same issues when I'm ready to do the same thing.
How do people get in touch with you to be part of your communities and your groups to get more insight? Because that was eye-opening for me, what you just explained.
Oh, thank you. For Yerushi said, we're working on our website, so you can feel free to follow us on Facebook. I believe it's facebook.com/Y.
YTSS. Yeah, that's,
yes.
Yeah, that's what she said. I always have a hard time with that, too.
And for the Sister Circle Collective, is sistercirclecollective.org. So it's sistercircle collective.org. And also at Facebook page and Twitter account. So yeah, actually for the SEC, we're having an info session. We actually call it the Gathering of the Tribe because we do believe that we are our one community. So we are going to have a Gathering of the Tribe event on January the 21st. We're still working out the date. We're working out the time and the location, but we are gathering a lot of people who are interested in being part of Collective and to see like where do they fit in? Do they want to be part of fundraising? Do you want to be part of media? Do you want to be part of political education or whatever other team that we have going on?
Okay. Wow. Thank you, everyone. I mean, if we had more time, 45 minutes goes by so quick. So quick when we're talking about really important things. I'd have to have you guys stay on or come on for in the next episode. But for now, we're going to close. And if you have any closing remarks, you got 2 minutes.
Yay, two minutes. I'll just jump in very quickly for a second. For anybody that wants to check out any of my classes, I always am super excited to give a free trial. So just email tim@punkrope.com or visit punkrope.com and we'll get you to a class. Yeah. You'll have fun.
For me, I am so excited to work with friends and companions and followers of Cynthia because she's so groovy in every possible way. And I'm offering an initial $50 discount off of first session if you say you've found about me through her. And I just want to be there as a tool for getting you to have the relationship with your body you always wanted to have.
Great. Lene.
And the way you could follow me and the clique that I run with, the cliques that I'm a part of, feel free to follow on Facebook, yeah, she said, or you can find as YTWSS, and Sister Collective at Facebook. And one piece of advice I would like to give to the readers,
listeners. Readers with their ears.
One piece of advice I would like to give to your listeners is, again, you know, if you can't love yourself, how the hell can you love someone else?
Period. Amen.
Beautiful.
Before I forget, Let me tell you all how to reach me again and get my attention on social media. Talk about what you've heard today. I'll be posting pictures and everything about the food and everything we did. Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, spelled L-U-V, hashtag using primary food, heritage underscore radio, and hashtag Rev Love. And again, this is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you have been listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network.
It's a hard thing to think about when you're hurting, can't help, can't figure out. So many days you go through the pain alone, but when I see you, you act like there's nothing wrong. To add to that, you've always tried to comfort me. You give me advice, push me forward, give me what I need. You make me believe I'm great, motivate me to rise each and every day. And it's hard because I see you've been hurting a while, but it never took away your smile. Didn't talk about it much, could you figure life was bigger and you only really want to show your love?
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
The first step is hard, I hope you take another. Hold you up, put one foot in front of the other. Let's march together, we can show the world how we can make it through tough times, boy or girl. Woman and man, hand in hand, to the top, heading to a better place. No skips, no stops, cause the pain ain't here to stay. I'll be your medicine, make the hurt go away. But some days it's hard to make.